This morning's passage is Psalm 14. The fool says in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt, their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned aside, they have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Will evildoers never learn? Those who devour my people as men eat bread and who do not call on the Lord. There they are, overwhelmed with dread, for God is present in the company of the righteous. You evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad."
I first off want to encourage you to be here next week to support Michael. As pastor of over 20 some odd years, I know what happens when the pastor doesn't show up for church. A lot of people don't show up for church. But what I want to say is Michael needs your encouragement. He's given me some insight and shared with me what he's going to share with you next week. I hope that you will be here to receive it and to encourage him by receiving it, because he has a wonderful message that he's going to share with you. About this time next week, I'm hoping that I'll be able to sit down for a few moments. I know after I run a half marathon that I'm supposed to stay up and walk around for a while and not collapse on the ground. So I'm hoping by this time that I'll be able to sit down for a moment and just take a break. But I'd appreciate your prayers this week as I finish my preparations for that. I'm ready. I just want to let you know I'm ready. And I already got my goal set on the next thing. So I'm starting to work towards the next goal that I have for next March, I hope, and start to work towards that. It's just been a wonderful experience for me, and it will always continue to be, I know. But please don't, like Janet asked you, please don't pray what Janet asked. I don't need 15 degrees cooler, okay? Next Sunday morning at 7 o'clock when the race is supposed to start, it's supposed to be about 58 degrees, which is absolutely great. And 10 minutes after that, it's going to feel like it's 75 to me. Okay, so I don't need 40 degree weather, Nick. Yes, I don't run in the 85s, and I'll be way done before it gets 85 next Sunday. But I thank you for your prayers, and I continue to covet them. I want to let you know that this psalm starts out kind of abruptly. It starts out kind of abruptly and says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." I want to let you know that this word in the Hebrew for fool does not mean somebody who is just totally unable to process things. It means somebody who is able to process the information in front of them but won't consider what the information is telling them. This means a person who is fully capable of processing what they see, but does not come out to the right conclusion. They're able to know that there is a God. They're able to understand that there is a God. But they choose to live as though there's not one. They choose to decide, "I'm not going to follow what everyone tells me is the correct way of thinking. I'm not going to look at the evidence in front of me, and I'm not going to examine it in a way that it will allow me to see that there's a God." Now, in the midst of all of us, I think there's a little bit of a fool. In the midst of all of us, I think there's a little bit of a fool. Because sometimes we look at what's going on around us and we say, there's no way there can be a God. Right? If there was a God, why does this happen? Or why does this happen? If there is a God, why do the people in the Bahamas get one hurricane after another? In the midst of all of us, I think we need to be honest. Because the scripture also says there's not a single person who does right. And when you share the gospel with someone else, that's the first thing that somebody else needs to understand, is that they are a sinner. And all of us need to get in touch with that fact that we are sinners. I sometimes think that we ought to start our worship services out the exact same way that they start Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. We ought to start out this way. In Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, you stand up, or if you're just sitting at a place, you say, my name is Tim and I'm an alcoholic. And then you start sharing what you wanted to share for that day. I think we ought to start our worship services that way. Hi, my name is Tim and I'm a sinner. Because I think sometimes we forget that we're sinners. We think that we're much high and mighty, more high and mighty than we actually are. I got things together and those people don't. Whoever they are. I don't know if you've ever met them. But you seem to talk about them an awful lot. And you seem to know the problems that they have, don't you? You know the problems that every one of them has. You know, when it talks about in this psalm that a fool knows in his heart that there's no, or says in his heart that there's no God, they are corrupt and their deeds are vile. You see, there are those in our world who take no consideration of God in the living of their life. No consideration of God in the living of their life. They live their lives without being concerned that there is a God, and they live their lives going, there must not be one. But you know what? Deep down inside, I think people know there is. But they live their lives as though there's not. We can see it in our news. We can see it in the reports that come from around the world. We can see it in our own town. They live their lives with no consideration for God. For them, life is this. It's about how they are the center of things in spite of what the evidence tells them. They live their lives as though they are the center of things in spite of what the evidence tells them. It's all about me. It's all about what I can get in the midst of this world. It's all about what I can accomplish. It's all about how I can win over someone else. It's all about me. Do you know these folks? When you look in the mirror, do you know these folks? Because sometimes we fall into that trap as Christians, don't we? It's about what I can accomplish. It's about what I can do and see how good my life is. Anytime you start using those personal pronouns referring to yourself in your walk with God, it's a danger. But the people I'm talking about, they just don't care about God. It's all about them. It's all about what we've been taught is the American dream. And the American dream is what? I'm going to get everything I can get. The American dream, I think, is best summed up with the phrase, "He who dies with the most toys wins." Is that not the American dream? If I've got more than everybody else, I win. If I've got a bigger house, if I've got a better car, if I've got a bigger boat, if I've accomplished more in my life than someone else has accomplished, isn't that the American dream? And you know what? That's totally against Scripture. That's what this passage is talking about. It's talking about people that center everything upon themselves and that the universe evolves around them. And without them, the universe would stop evolving. You ever been sick and stayed at home for a day from work? And got back the next day and found out work still existed? Now, yes, I know your inbox probably had more things in it to do, but that's because other people chose not to do them, not because they couldn't. They chose not to do them. It gave them an opportunity to put things off because you're not there. I know that I'm not indispensable. I know it. This church existed before I came. And it will exist after I leave. You see, folks, we need to keep God in the center of things. But right in the midst of this passage, even though it talks about evildoers and it talks about everybody going the wrong way and everybody being corrupt and everybody not caring, we see something in verse 2. The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. God is looking for a completely different set of people. Those who are seeking God and God's plan. That's who God's looking for. Those who are seeking God and God's plan. Now I want to make an emphasis here because oftentimes I hear about this and people say, I want to find God's will for my life. Did you hear the word that's a danger in there? Did you hear it? God's will for my life. No. What's God's will for us as a community? What's God's will is for us as a community of believers, a community who have joined together? What's God's will for us as a team? What's God's will? God is looking for people who are seeking for God and are seeking God's plan in this life. That's what God's looking for. God is looking down from heaven saying, I wonder if I will find anyone. D.L. Moody said that there has never in this world been a person that has given themselves completely over to God yet. Now, somebody's going to come to me afterwards and say, well, Jesus Christ did. I know that. Okay? I think D.L. Moody was talking about any individual besides Jesus Christ. D.L. Moody says, no one has done that. I stand before you accused. I have not given my complete life over to Jesus Christ. There are times and moments when I decide it's going to be about me. And that's not always right to do. Sometimes it's about what I want. Not what God wants. And you see, God's looking down, trying to find those people. Where are they? Can I find those who are willing to search out only for God and only for God's plan? See, a lot of people search out a job that they want to be in for the rest of their lives. But very few people search out for a job that God wants them to be in so that the kingdom of God can grow. Now, I'm not talking about everybody going into the field of ministry. Okay? God can use people in very particular situations wherever God's calling you to. It may be God's calling you to be a plumber your whole life. And that can make a drastic difference in teaching people about the kingdom of God. It may be that God's calling you to be a secretary. It may be that God's calling you just to be a greeter. And God can use that in incredible and powerful ways. Where do you find the most happiness in life? When you follow God's plan. Outside of God's plan, you don't find happiness. Hear me again. Outside of God's plan, you don't find happiness. You may think you do, but you're missing out on something. Something incredibly dynamic if you're not in the midst of what God's plan is. I wouldn't trade what I do for anything. I wouldn't trade it for anything. The joy and the happiness that I find. Are there moments of sorrow? Are there moments of depression? Are there moments of downness? Oh, yeah. But I wouldn't trade what I do for anything. I mean, I do love being a mechanic. I do love, listen carefully, Eric. I love having hydraulic oil all over my arms. It's just fun. Covered in grease. I love it. Until it's lunchtime. Okay? But I can't have as much joy in life doing that as I do in what I'm doing. I'm capable of doing it, but that's not God's plan for my life. You see, God's looking for people, the people that God's looking for, these are people who are willing to make God their number one priority. These people are people that are willing to make God their number one priority. God comes before spouse. God comes before family. God comes before friends. God comes before work. God comes before recreation. Number one priority. When you get up in the morning, is your number one priority to do what God's calling you to do today? That's who God's looking for. In whatever way God's calling you to that, is that your number one priority when you get up in the morning? Besides the coffee pot. By the way, that's one thing that running has taught me. I can get up and get dressed and go out running and not have my first cup of coffee till 10 or 11 in the morning. It doesn't make any difference. Still a good day. Didn't have my first cup of coffee yesterday till noon. It's still a good day. Is your number one priority what God wants each day when you get up? Is that your number one priority? Do you get up going, God, what is it you want me to be about today? Who is it you want me to share with? Who is it you want me to talk to? Who is it that you want me to help? What is it that I need to learn from you? I want to be empty and be filled by you today and you only, God. Is that your number one priority when you get up? This is who God's looking for. And as you read this psalm, it says, it is these people that God will restore, build up, and invest with joy. It's these people that God will restore, build up, and invest with joy. Listen to the last verse. Verse 7 of Psalm 14. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. Then the Lord restores his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Folks, when we set our number one priority on God, and when we live that way, getting up each morning saying, what is it, God, you want me to be involved with? God's going to restore us, God's going to build us up, and God's going to invest joy in us. Is that what you want? Is that what you want out of life? Do you want to be restored to fullness? Do you want to be built up better than you are? And do you want to have so much joy that you can't contain it? It requires you putting your number one priority on God. It requires that. Because this scripture says that God is looking for those people that have that as their number one priority. Now, lest you think that this, that's one good idea from scripture, I want you to know that these exact same words, almost, also appear as Psalm 53, which makes me ask, why does it show up twice? Maybe because I need to hear it again, huh? And then almost exactly the same word shows up in Paul's writings. That God's searching out for those that are seeking God with all that they've got. Paul's quoting from these two Psalms. And he's sharing those words. It's in Romans chapter 3. You can go and read it. Some of you know Romans chapter 3, verse 23, don't you? For all have sinned and... Once again, you guys have convinced me that you can memorize Scripture. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Is that not what Psalm 14 says? Go and read Romans chapter 3, and you'll find some of the same words because Paul quotes these two psalms. Three times in Scripture it says that God is searching out. Well, a lot more than three times. God's searching out for people that are willing to make God their number one priority from the time they wake up in the morning until the time they go to sleep. Their number one priority. Are you willing to do that? When God looks upon you, does God see a person who's seeking after God's plan? When God looks upon you, does God see a person who's seeking after God's plan. I'm willing to tell you, if not, it's time to change. It's time to do something about it. Because that's who God's looking for. So I encourage you to think about this question this week. When God looks upon you, does God see a person who is seeking after God's plan? Let's pray. Lord, so many times we get involved in so many things in life. And sometimes those things get us so involved in things that we're not paying attention to what you're doing around us. And as we read the scriptures, it says that you're looking for folks. You're upon high and you're looking down saying, "Can I find anyone who seeks totally for me? Who seeks totally to live the plan I have for this world?" And Lord, we confess to you that we're not that kind of person at all the times of our lives. We pray that you would teach us how to do that. That you would be patient enough with us and loving enough with us and showing us forgiveness and grace, that we might not think everything centers around us, but around you and your plan, so that we might be a people who are restored, that we might be a people who are built up, that we might be a people that are so filled with joy that it just spills out of us and makes puddles everywhere we go. So, Lord, we especially pray for those who step in those puddles of joy, that it might affect them somehow too. Guide us to make the choices we need to make, Lord, to come ever closer to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.